V.S. Naipaul, winner of the Nobel Prize, has died. The 85-year-old author was at his home in London. Perhaps best known for his novel A Bend in the River, Naipaul was a controversial figure in the literary world. NPR's Lynn Neary has this remembrance.
By all accounts, V.S. Naipaul was not an easy man. His biographer, Patrick French, says Naipaul set high standards for himself and he expected as much from others. Be it a waiter in a restaurant, a fellow writer, or an entire country, Naipaul did not hold back his criticism when he felt it was deserved.
If you think of the first line of his book, A Bend in the River, it's "The world is what it is." And his view was that you looked at things straight on. You looked at them dead on and you told the truth as you saw it, as you perceived it. And if that was going to distress and upset people, then so be it.
Naipaul's relationship with his birthplace Trinidad was nothing if not complicated. His grandparents emigrated there from India as indentured servants. Naipaul has said he thought it was a mistake that he was born there. French believes he probably meant that as a joke, but here's how Naipaul described Trinidad in a 1994 NPR interview.
After the destruction of the Aboriginal people, there was wilderness. And then on that wilderness, late in the 18th century, there began to be created a plantation. And I fear that is how we have to think of the place. It can't be a country in the way you would think of Persia being a country or Turkey being a country.
Naipaul's early novels give a warm and humorous view of Trinidad. A House for Mr. Biswas, which some consider his best book, was based on his father's life. But Naipaul didn't want to get trapped in Trinidad like his father, so he sought and won a scholarship to Oxford. Biographer French says Naipaul's early years in Britain were difficult. He suffered from depression, poverty, and loneliness.
To arrive in that setting with very little money, very little security, the racial prejudices of the 1950s, that was quite tough for him. And probably the toughest time of all was after he left Oxford, and he really didn't know what to do. And he was so short of money that he got ill, he didn't have enough to eat, he had nowhere to stay.
It's such a difficult period. I don't want to be reminded of it. I prefer to deal with it in imagination.
When a collection of his letters was published in 2000, Naipaul told NPR he did not believe in wallowing in the intense emotions of those early experiences. Instead, he used his writing to work through those feelings.
What happens with pain is that really time does heal it, and one deals in the end with an abstraction to be reminded of the week-to-week difficulties of those times would be too much for me, actually.
In his later years, Naipaul lived comfortably with his second wife in the English countryside. He was a highly respected writer, winner of the Nobel Prize in Literature. Still, he always seemed to be a man caught between two worlds, the world of the colonizer and those who are colonized. And his views on the formerly colonized could be harsh. But French says it is the tension between those two worlds that hone Naipaul's writing.
I think that if you've come out of something close to slavery, you've grown up in a colony, you are of Indian origin, but you come from the West Indies, and then you turn up in the 1950s in Oxford and you make your home in England, you are from the most complex triangulated background possible. And out of that distinctive experience, he created extraordinary works of fiction and nonfiction.
Sometimes it has seemed that Naipaul's caustic pen and penchant for controversy would overshadow his accomplishments as a writer. But biographer Patrick French believes those moments are short-lived. In the long term, he says,
I have no doubt that people will be reading his books for decades and centuries to come.
In the end, French thinks that Naipaul was satisfied with his life, but never self-satisfied. For V.S. Naipaul, the world was a provocative place. There was always something else to be said, something else to be written. Lynn Neary, NPR News, Washington.